This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you. Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the, hey Marge, did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Running a growing business means getting the insights you need wherever you are. With Shopify's single dashboard, you can manage orders, shipping, and payments from anywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the United States. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/ifanboy, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/ifanboy now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/ifanboy.
This is iFanboy Pick of the Week number 607, brought to you by Mac Weldon. Underwear, socks, shirts that are better than what you're wearing right now, unless you're wearing Mac Weldon. And if you are, then you know I am wearing it. Go to MacWeldon.com and get 20% off using promo code iFanboy. And iFanboy listeners just like you. Welcome to iFanboy Pick of the Week, episode 607. I'm Josh Flanagan, alongside my co-host, Connor Kilpatrick.
Hi, Josh.
And Ron Richards is, the less said, the better.
You know, it's just a legal thing. We would like to say more, but our lawyers have advised us to say less.
And various other third parties. But again, I've said too much.
And men in suits that have said, say less about it. And I said, yes, sir.
They weren't orders, but they were suggestions, but they actually were orders.
They're pointed suggestions.
Yeah, there you go. Pointed, almost literally. We are iFanboy. Every week we read our stack of comic books, which is only sort of partially a stack at this point, if I'm being honest. Because of digital, not because – anyway. One of us picks – you see, you can't stack a digital file in any meaningful way. One of us picks their favorite book. We call that the pick of the week. We talk about that book, others from the week, the patron pick. And maybe if we have time, we'll read some listener mail, things like that. The point of it is to be entertaining and for us to have fun. That's what we go for. That's what we – just not we're about.
Yeah, it's our ethos.
Athos?
It's our ethos. I have not been awake for very long.
Is that A-E-T-H-O-S?
Yeah, it's the old Greek spelling.
Nice. Yeah. We are going to talk about what happens in the book. So that's it's a review show. There's your spoiler warning. There will be spoilers. It's on you, dude. And dudesette. Yeah, that's how I do it. Like courts martial, dudesette. Right. This week, Connor had the pick. Hey, it's Batman.
Batman 33 and... So I was reading my books. As you may hear, I'm traveling. I'm using my travel mic, and so I had my books all ready to go on the plane. Very excited to, you know, just have this be locked in to that middle seat with my comics and never move and read them straight through. And I finished reading them all, and I was like, "Well, I don't know what to do."
I had a little of this last week.
Because literally everything I read, I enjoyed. I thought everything was, you know, solid. But nothing right away blew my socks off. So I was thinking, well, what am I going to do here? And I thought back to Batman and how much I enjoyed it. But it wasn't an enjoyment that was leaping off the page. I had to think about why I enjoyed it. And then once I thought about it, I was like, yes, I did enjoy that. So Batman 33, Tom King, art by Joel Jones. Really fantastic.
I did have that question because I think I thought the same thing. I was like, I think I liked it. And then you picked it and I went, how he liked it, which all on a Batman thing always makes me want to re-examine it.
Well, there's two things going on here. So at the end of the last issue, we talked about Batman has, you know, he'd been recounting to Selina Kyle, Bruce Wayne had been recounting to Selina Kyle the war of jokes and riddles, and at the end of that recounting, he asked her to marry him. And so two things are happening here, and one takes you a long time to figure out. So it opens with Batman and Catwoman riding through the desert with shotguns on a horse. Batman dressed exactly like the Batman from Batman v Superman, Desert Edition, with the duster and the goggles and the scarf. And Catwoman sort of in desert Catwoman gear. And we don't know what the hell's going on there. We know they have to shoot their horse that's died. One of their horses that's died. And then we cut back to the Bat Kids at the manor. We've got Dick Grayson. We've got Jason Todd. We've got Duke. I don't even know what his last name is. And we've got Damian. And they're all hanging out and having funny adventures, and a curiously oldly drawn Alfred, which I didn't like.
Well, I wondered if I saw that, and I wondered if that means something.
I'm a little worried that it does mean something. They draw him with gray hair, and he looks older than he normally does. And
honestly, he's been through some shit. I have more gray hair. I'm not bald, but I have more gray hair than Alfred does, and I don't think that's fair.
I wonder if he does like shoe polish.
You know. Maybe. That's maybe. And he just finally was like, what am I doing this for?
Right. So, you know, they're having fun adventures in the house. You know, but the Bat Hound has Jason Todd's jacket, and there's a fun bit with that Ace. And then, so really, as you're reading this, you're like, why are Batman and Catwoman in the desert? And why are they, what's going on while Alfred lets slip to the kids that their father is engaged to Catwoman, and I loved that two-panel bit where they, you know, we love that silent bit in comics, right? Where he
always
says she's accepted his proposal, and there's a silent bit, and then what the hell did you just say? And I loved the bit at home with the kids as they deal with the fact that Bruce has gotten engaged to Catwoman. You know, there's recriminations. Jason Todd blames Duke. Damian's upset because he didn't see it coming and wasn't able to stop it. And I like the bit with Dick consoling him because they have that interesting relationship, even though they never really had it in the New 52. But whatever, nothing matters. Nothing makes sense. and then
it's getting funnier.
And then we find out at the end that the journey, this really dangerous journey to this country I've never heard of, and I don't know if it's happening in another comic or not, because it's apparently under Justice League protection, and I didn't know any of that stuff, is that because Talia al Ghul is there. And so I guess when you get engaged, you got to go visit your baby mama and let her know?
I don't know why. I know that she has a harem.
She's just had an orgy.
Yes, yeah. So that was a thing. Yeah, I guess. I don't really know anything why this is happening.
I don't either, but I loved how strange that part was, and I loved the kid bit together. So it was like two different comics, but I enjoyed them for both for different reasons.
My problem with the kid bit is that I didn't know who anyone was.
Right. I thought Damian was Tim because she drew him almost as big as the other guys.
Well, they're literally, I mean, say what you will about diversity in comics, but at least I know who Duke is. I'm like, okay, that's Duke. That's helpful. That's great. Everybody else, they're literally the exact same. I mean, she drew them with different faces and builds and whatever, but they're white dudes with black hair.
I figured, well, obviously Jason was wearing red because he's a red hood.
But I didn't know because I thought that was Tim.
Well, Tim is still not.
He's Red Robin.
Tim is still escaping from Dr. Oz. Why do I say Dr. Oz every time? Tim is still escaping from Mr. Oz's clutches over Detective Comics, so I assumed he wasn't back.
You're assuming there's continuity, that something makes sense, that something matters.
That's true. That was my own fault. Also, let's talk about the awesome Ariel Olivetti variant cover.
Okay.
I mean, not Ariel Olivetti, Olivier Coypel variant cover.
Oh. Oh, yeah, you're going to get your Coypels and your Olivettis mixed up.
This is why you shouldn't podcast only after being awake for about 45 minutes. When you land it.
I tell you, Batman on a horse.
I don't like to be reminded of that movie, but I like the imagery of Batman with the duster on the horse with the goggles. It's kind of fun. And it when I was a kid in the 80s reading Batman comics, I would read back issues all the time, so I was reading a lot of 70s and early 80s Bronze Age comics, and that was the time when he was the swashbuckling global adventurer, and he was almost often fighting Ra's al Ghul. And right. So I always liked those adventures. I always liked seeing Batman in different environments. And I'm not sure why he needs to go and tell Talia that he's getting married. But it's kind of a fun
thing. Maybe
it's a
custody thing? Like it changes the arrangement with Damian?
Maybe. And maybe she'll take him back and we'll never have to see him again. That would be awesome.
That would be good.
But then...
Does he know about the orgies? Because he might be down with that.
New Batman. New Bruce is definitely down for orgies. but... I think it's just kind of a fun, weird thing, and I like that Tom King is taking these odd looks at Batman. This sort of, I don't say left to center, but he's sort of tilting the camera a bit and saying, "All right, well, let's put Batman on a horse in the desert, and let's have him go meet Talia, and she's gonna be pissed. Obviously, she wants her swords, and it's just fun. I like the Joel Jones art a lot.
She's great.
Putting aside the fact that I wasn't quite sure if that was Damian or Tim in the beginning, I thought I loved. You're right. She gave them all different faces, they all different haircuts, different builds. All the kids.
Also, her dog drawing is excellent. There's one where he's laying on the couch with his legs up in the air.
Yeah.
Which is like I was like, oh, that's a great dog right there. That's perfect.
The dog owner, probably.
Yeah. Yeah, or a photo reference. But although you have to know dogs to know that that's the thing they do.
I also like when Alfred takes a phone call from Superman.
And lies, which I was kind of like, Superman can still hear you. That's what I thought, you know.
So I don't know. I don't know if this.
Superman's only calling you so that you can hear him.
Right. That'd be a really useful skill, would be to listen in after you're done with the conversation.
He could. He doesn't. He's a good guy, but he could.
It wouldn't occur to him. I don't know, but this country caught him. I don't know anything about it. I've never heard of it before. I don't know if it's happening in another book that this country is like locked down under Justice League protection, and inside of it is Talia al Ghul. I don't know where all that happened. It also may not have happened anywhere. And it could just be a thing that exists in the DCU, which is fine, totally cool. I think it's interesting and fun, and you know, it's kind of like Batman and Catwoman have to beat all the bosses to get to Talia, and that was fun. And I just thought this was Tom King's run is turning out to be not what I'm expecting necessarily, but I'm enjoying it for how kind of quirky it is.
It's what you needed.
It's the Batman run I needed.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what...
That's not the Batman run you deserve.
No.
No.
Quite frankly, what I deserve and what I need are two different things.
True enough.
We all know that. So Batman 33 was the pick of the week. Good job, Tom King and Joelle Jones. I hope Joelle Jones is doing the whole arc.
Yeah, me too. Definitely. She's great. Every time I see her work, which isn't all that often, I just think, gosh, she's great. Like, for a second, I thought I was looking at, I don't know, I'm trying to think of who. Someone else who's a really big name.
And I didn't know because the credits were at the end and all the cover says it's Jones. And I'm reading this going, who is this?
I thought it was like, is this J.G. Jones? Did they get him for this? Because it's that good.
Yeah.
You know?
Fine if she was the regular artist of Batman, quite frankly.
Even Duke has a really good, interesting face.
Yeah. You want an artist who can you don't want those artists that just do the comic face.
Yeah. Yeah, it's quite wonderful. Tell you something though. Just from a technical standpoint, if I'm Batman and I have access to all of the things I have access to, probably not gonna go with the cloth neck kerchief. Like I feel like there are more effective things that he has access to than like the standard canteen. I feel like he's a camelback guy.
But you know what? It looks cool, and he's all about what looks cool.
And I recognize that choice. And they killed a horse.
That is a great way to sort of shock you into it, as they have to shoot the horse as it's dying in the desert. I can imagine a lot of people having trouble with this run, and maybe this issue even, but I'm enjoying it.
I can see it. I'm not going to tell you it's my favorite thing ever, but it's valid because of its many efforts. And also it's variant. If you think about where we started with Gotham Girl and Gotham, you know, and that story and sort of where we are now, and this sort of like Batman gonna marry Catwoman is a ballsy choice.
Yeah. I don't think it's gonna happen, but
doesn't matter. They're sticking with it long enough that it's not a one note joke, basically.
Totally.
They're like, let's play this out for a little while and see. And you know, it's comics, so you know, nothing matters. It doesn't have to make sense. Yeah, wow, I can't believe it took us this long to stumble onto that.
Well, Dan Slott told us in 2007 when we interviewed him in the video show, but it took us ten years to figure it out.
Well, I think also it's you have to have been reading comics for a while to really think about them for a good decade, at least, I'd say.
Years.
To realize that, like, oh, trying to play, it's like the thing about Back to the Future. If you try to make sense of the time travel aspect, the whole thing falls apart. Stop doing that.
Just enjoy
the However, story. Sometimes it is annoying when nothing matters and nothing makes sense, and sometimes it's not. You get to make that choice as a reader.
That's heavy.
What is it about? Wait.
So the Invincible Iron Man 593, the newly renumbered Iron Man, Josh.
Yeah. I just want to point out that as I was writing the things down, I realized that all of the comics have been renumbered to their original numbers. And it's great.
Not all of them.
Well, whatever.
Not a big deal.
I don't care. The ones that are, I'm going to take whatever. It doesn't make sense. They jerked us around. It's still great. Invincible Iron Man number 593, awesome. Because at first I was trying to remember if I wanted to talk about this. And I thought, wait, is this the Riri Williams one or is this the Doctor Doom one? And I was like, oh, it's both of them. That's why they were both in there. That's why we did it this way. And, you know, we're on our way to getting back to Stark. Mm-hmm. Which actually makes me quite happy. You've got two artists going through here. You've got Stefano Caselli doing the Riri parts, and not just Riri, but also I don't remember Tony Stark's mother and Mary Jane, and then Friday, the new AI that sort of controls everything. Those four characters, and then Maliv is back for the Doctor Doom. So they've gone and combined those two books.
Well, I didn't know Doctor Doom was in this.
Yeah,
I would have read it.
That's the two series. There's Riri in one, and then
because at the end of Infamous Iron Man, it said it was over.
Yeah, but like they've got to figure out how to bring these two things together, and it's the search for Tony Stark.
I'll read it.
So they're gonna like Tony Stark's been in a coma or dead or whatever it's been since the end of I can't remember.
Civil War II, wasn't it?
No, the one where Doom had the other planet. Maybe it was Civil War 2.
That's Civil War 2, because that was when all the new heroes were popping up after that.
Okay. Yeah. So he's here. He shows up, and this is a really cool scene at the very end where, like, a bald, completely hairless human, who I assume is Tony Stark, because you can't tell once you take his mustache away and his hair.
That's true.
Like, struggles across a floor for two pages, puts on the Shellhead era Iron Man, and then curls up in a fetal position in a one-page panel at the end. And there's no words or explanation, and so he just needs to get into the armor, and then he curls up like a baby. Hey, look, there's a backup story I didn't see. Doesn't matter. It's only a few pages. That happens to me a lot, because something says end, and digitally, you're like, okay, that's the end. Oh, wait, there's more pages. Who knew? I can't think of how many pages I've missed. That's a drawback of digital, if I'm going to be honest.
Well, I scroll all the way to the end until it says read more, get back to your books.
I'm starting to learn to do that, but sometimes I'm in a hurry.
Also, because I like to clear off my list of, you know, books you're in the middle of reading, and you can only do that if you get to the end, last page.
So the point of me talking about this is that it was really fun. These two series have been really fun on their own, and it is totally time to, okay, bring back Tony Stark, and then you've got this coterie of characters going on. I'm cool with Doctor Doom wanting to be a good guy Iron Man, even if he doesn't call himself Iron Man. Like, I am go with this. That has been
super
fun. He wasn't
really calling Iron Man before in that other book. It was...
Yeah.
My only worry with all this is that now, like, every hero has a family. And not, like, a mom and a dad, but, like, there's, like, now there's, like, four Iron Men, and now there's four Spider-Men, and now, you know, it's like...
That's the era we live in.
I guess.
That's the era of comics that we're in right now, because each franchise has to stand on its own so that it has characters that it can be passed on to. And, I mean, I assume this comes from, hey, have you noticed Robert Downey Jr.'s getting old as shit now? I mean, really, that's what we're doing here. And it's not just, hey, we have to make them girls. Hey, we have to make them black. Hey, we have to do whatever. There's a part of that where they're like, well, now we do have to replace them. How can we do it to make it, you know, different and more interesting? And that's one way. But it really boils down to Robert Downey Jr.'s getting old. You know, and Chris Evans isn't going to do this forever. Like, right. That's what I feel like what we're seeing. But you know, we're gonna dip back, because that's what comics do. They look forward, then they look to the past, and so we're back to original numbering, which is stupid and doesn't matter, but I like it. And we're back to sort of like, it would be one thing if they completely disappeared Tony Stark, but you know, he's been there the whole time, sort of in his AI form, and they're just playing around with the form, and it's been fun, and that's all that matters. If it's done shitty, then we would say it's shitty because of that, but it's been fun, so it isn't. And so I like the direction, I like the culmination, and then this is part one of the search for Tony Stark, which is classic comic book shit.
Astro City 48, I thought maybe it might be the pick after the last issue was the pick. This is the second of two part, the G-Dog story. And I think because we knew what was coming, for me, the emotional impact was lessened as opposed to the last issue, in which, you know, we get punched in the gut, we find out the dog is old and dying.
Well, I feel like the last issue was all of the drama, and this issue was all the explanation, which wasn't poorly done, and it's not necessarily a bad thing, but it didn't really have a punch in the same way, because it was very explain and introspection.
Yeah, it's almost kind of like an epilogue.
Yes.
Like once we found out that once he found out that his dog was old and dying or going to be dying soon, this was kind of like all the fun things we did once we found that out, and it was totally great. I liked the team of pets.
Pet patrol.
The animal. Yeah, the pet patrol.
They called themselves pets. That's on them.
Dr. Monkey is a great name, and I hope he sticks around because I just like saying Dr. Monkey.
Mm-hmm.
And he was all sad when the pet patrol falls apart. Or at least when the guy leaves the Pet Patrol.
Yeah.
But it felt kind of like an overview, which is nice. It's kind of like an overview of a life. You know, it was a sweet issue. It just wasn't as emotionally impactful as the last one.
I agree. I'm right there with you. That's why I don't think it could have been. It'd be a hard call to make a pick of the week. But I liked that the dog. I'm literally going through, like, my dog is at that stage of life, and it's super sad. And I like that the dog made it to 15. Like, the dog lived longer. When they went, they could still go superheroing. And at the end, he was like, I don't want another one. I'm ready to move on. And I thought that was all, you know, nice. Dr. Drew is in here for some reason.
He needs to, that does look like Dr. Drew. He, the guy, I don't know what his name is, but he needs to maybe think about a different costume.
I think he's stopping, isn't he?
I guess he's leaving the amulet, but he flies away, so he still has powers.
Oh, look at that. He might want to check that it still works.
Before he flies up.
Like, if there's a proximity thing.
I think what would happen was the amulet allowed him to absorb new animal powers, but he still has the old ones. He just didn't want to bond with the new animal.
He's not going to change that costume, though, because it means a lot.
I know, it's
the dog. It's his life. Yeah, well, you know, he was a dog.
It's less silly when there's a dog head.
Dogs don't care so much about what they look like, is what I've found.
Well, they're not. They don't understand the concept even of fashion, which is, you know, the downside of a dog.
Maybe they do. Maybe they just don't care. I can't speak for the dogs. that was stupid.
Maybe they prefer avant-garde, and they're like, "What are you guys still doing wearing regular pants?"
Yeah.
Just
get loose with it, but come on.
So with the renumbering came a new anniversary issue of the Mighty Thor 700.
So it's like late at night, and I had very little free time this week, and I had a lot of comics. I'm like, all right, let's start going. Oh, good, a 50-page Thor. Awesome. So glad. And I started with that. You're a doofus for not reading Thor all this time. It's been a great time to read Thor.
Well, you know, I like that it's something you can at least – you could at least hit me with.
It was all tied in together. It wasn't like the Jane Foster stuff was directly related. The Volstagg as the War Thor, he gets the hammer taken away. And we're like, I guess that's all for War Thor. But then the hammer just shows up in front of him and he kicks all the other gods' asses. This was sort of an art spectacular. Mm-hmm. Lots of different people in it, which you did not write in the script, and I don't blame you for that, so I'm going to go back to the beginning. But, like, right away, under the cover, first page you get to, Walt Simonson Thor. It's just one page, ridiculous boot pads, and a happy Thor, and that's all I wanted out of life. We had Walter Simonson with Matthew Wilson coloring that, Russell Dotterman, Matthew Wilson colored a lot, Daniel Acuna, James Herron and Dave Stewart, Becky Cloonan and Dave Stewart, Chris Burnham and Yves Sorcina, Andrew McLean and Dave Stewart, Jill Thompson, Mike Del Mundo, Olivia Coipel and Dave Stewart. I mean, this was an artistic tour de force, and I recommend that you download it just to look at it. A lot of different Thors are coming together. We've been building up to this sort of Malekith thing for a long time. And I feel like this is going to be, you know, the some sort of culmination of that. And again, like calling it the Mighty Thor number 700, that made me pretty happy.
Well, you know, all the credit in the world to Jason Aaron for writing 700 issues of Thor.
That's not how. It's just I thought you'd know this by now.
Oh, that's not how it works.
No, there are rotating creators.
Oh.
700 issues at a monthly pace is pretty significant. But you've got all like there's elements of everything from his run of Thor from the very beginning to the God Butcher and the granddaughters. You've got this. What is the black? Whatever that the weapon that the God Butcher had, that sort of black power.
The sphere?
I forget what it's called, but it gets infected. It infects Galactus, who becomes the Butcher of Worlds, and Galactus becomes darker even than he would have been before. And
he was a Lifebringer now.
Well, in this, he's got the whatever that black power is.
God, it's like nothing makes
or
sense.
Or the God Butcher, the all black, the Necro Sword. Basically, it infected Galactus. And then, so Galactus is going through eating all the planets. And then Ego, the living planet, who is greatly aged and his face is like got bulbous sores all over it, comes after and bites Galactus's arm off, which then infects Ego, the living planet, to having the Necro Sword in him. And so, like, it's just huge, stupid cosmic forces going on. Frog Thor shows up. You've got the rampant She-Hulk in this. Who's been showing up in different comics because she's all out of control now, which is kind of interesting. But also, I miss Jennifer Walters. There's a lot going on in this. It's actually difficult to summarize, but it was really fun to read, and it's sort of elements of everything that's been happening. And I'm like it's been a hell of a run on Thor. I mean, really. And I keep thinking that we've reached a sort of precipice. Like, okay, now we're gonna and it keeps adding more stuff to it. And it's all in just like right in the right tone. You know, and then it ends with Mangog, which I think was one of the earliest Kirby Thor villain monsters. It's going to be a good time.
Well, sounds good.
It's really you should flip through it. And there are a few pages at the end here, which I also did not flip through.
There was a concerted effort amongst the patrons this week to make that the pick of the week so that I'd have to read it. But that effort fell flat. Not flat. But it did not succeed. They've turned away the gates.
If I can't get you to read it, phrasing its goodness forever.
So, I feel like Josh, you and I have known each other for a long time, and
sure.
I feel like the listeners, and, you know, and I have come close over these 12 years or however long we've been doing this. So I can be honest with you guys and say, I forgot all my Image comics.
Wow!
When I was packing, I forgot to pack my Image books, so I did not read any of the Image books this week. Including Mage, the Hero of the Night, number 3.
Well, you blew it because I think I would have made this my pick of the week.
Well, there you go.
And again,
work.
It is not that Mage, the Hero of the Night, number 3, is like an amazing issue or anything. It's just that I get it. And for a long time, I've known about this comic book. I've read it. And you know, it's not the greatest series ever, but it is really good and it's unique and it's something that's sort of deserves its reputation. Matt Wagner is a heck of an artist. I just really like his art.
He's a terrific artist.
It doesn't look like anybody else's stuff. It's actually pretty simple, but he's a good storyteller.
Have you ever read Trinity?
No.
It's one of my go-to, like, here, you want to read a good DC... It's his miniseries about, you know, the retelling of when Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman first met and worked together. And it's a little,
I might have like
it's a little trade paperback, you know, it was like a 4-issue mini or whatever it was, and it's terrific.
I might even have it. Then the other side that I really like about this is because I assume that the first part took place before he had a family and had kids. This really is about, you know, and I'm assuming that again that the creator, that Matt Wagner, is using his experiences because you know the earlier indie stuff is done when you're young and you're hungry, and the later stuff is you've got a family, you've
it's
got different.
You're a musician.
Yeah, and he's a good like he's a good dad. It's a nice family. The drama isn't among the family. He's just trying to do the right thing, and the kids love him, and he has to leave because there's monsters coming after him, and there's various reasons why they don't want them all to leave, and he's taken on the evil force. It's pretty straight up. It's not reinventing the wheel or anything, but it's really well done. And for some reason, I really like the Kevin Matchstick character. I I like watching him. I like watching his reaction. It's just like, he's a good guy. It's almost like a Coach Taylor kind of way. Just
solid. So now that this book is at Image is collecting the original run and the first two.
I have them, but I haven't read them.
So you haven't read the original.
I read them a long time. I have read them. I read them many, at least a decade, probably more. I read them like early 2000s. So it didn't really stick with me a ton. I got the basic idea, but I don't think I finished it. This was at a time when, like, if I didn't have any money. So, yeah, like, if I needed a new paperback, like, I'd really love it. So I don't think that I kept going with it.
These are long. I think this is like a 15-issue mini or something like that.
Yeah.
So these are meaty. I think there's two trades worth for each volume. So there's going to be six of these trades when it's all said and done.
But it's good. It's solid comic books, and it's definitely of an slightly earlier era, I think, which appeals to me because I feel like it's being written for me.
Right.
If that makes sense.
So, Josh, you're a man who likes to take care of his junk, his
Hello.
His sensitive bits.
Yeah.
You're a man who does it, who appreciates not having rough fabrics and itchiness. Maybe not like a raw wool underwear kind of guy.
I don't. If anything, I would go for a merino wool, but that's a whole other conversation.
No, like a raw, untreated, like, you know.
It's true. I do not have rough underwear in any way. And I will say I have, having switched to a premium underwear long ago, I don't see myself going back.
So Mac Weldon is an underwear that is better than what you're wearing, most likely, if you're listening right now. And it's definitely better than raw wool. I think we can go out on a limb and be like, or canvas, or burlap. Like, if you're going to be like,
that's,
is
just
Mack Weldon better than a burlap sack? Yes. It's more comfortable.
Or cotton. It's actually just better than regular cotton, if I'm going to be honest.
And it's got great design. Ron talked about it very uncomfortably last week. But
yeah, I can't shake it.
The thing is, if you're someone who appreciates great design in your underwear and also is like, fuck this burlap sack underwear that my mom made me, I want like real premium quality material, then I don't know why you're not already on MacWeldon.com using promo code iFanboy to order some right now.
I mean, you should be. I'm going to tell you something. So this is full disclosure. They say, listen, we're not going to go on for 40 minutes this time.
No.
Okay, but I want this to be known is that like they sent us some coupon codes to get some underwear so we could try it out so we knew what we were talking about so it wasn't bullshit. I bought more.
Here's the thing.
I bought more.
Yeah, and the thing.
Buy money. No, you know.
The thing is, as we mentioned at the top of the show, as Josh did, it's not just underwear. I bought socks. I bought a couple of T-shirts. The T-shirts are.
I'm wearing one of the T-shirts right now.
The T-shirts have this really great quality. I didn't even look at the back to see what they're made of, but they're really soft, and the socks are crazy. They go up to my knees. You know what the worst thing about the nice socks is, and they start falling down, and then they're all bunched around your ankles by the end of the evening. No, these are up around your knees. Good socks, good underwear.
It's a fine thing. I mean, to be, you know, that's true. But really, I don't want to focus on that. I know they have all this stuff, but if I'm gonna say, if you got to do one thing. Get some of that underwear.
Yeah. I wore one on the plane last night. Super great. You know, the no rolling thing is awesome.
Yeah, right? It works, right?
It does work, and I don't know. I can't figure out why. I'm not an underwear engineer.
Right.
I don't claim to be one. I don't have a degree in underwear design, but it doesn't roll on you, which is often a problem.
So there's a few different kinds of underwear. Have not tried the athletic. We really need to wrap this up. But the silver, a little more upmarket though. But they're totally antimicrobial, which means that they don't stink and they don't take on. And it works, and that's super cool. If you're a hirsute man or sweaty man, for example. And unfortunately, you know, they're men's clothes. Presumably, you could wear them if you're a woman.
Yeah, I was asked, hey, you like these so much, can I get some women's? And I was like, you know what? I'm not in charge. There are no women's stuff. I apologize.
I bought an A shirt like Ron, which will not be worn externally in any way. But
not while you're grilling?
Nope. That won't be happening.
What do you think about it?
No, I'll get grease on it. I don't like that.
Well,
so
we hardly recommend Mack Weldon. We have Ron's – not Ron. You're Josh. Josh is wearing the underwear right now. I've got t-shirts and socks. I've actually on this trip, I brought the socks with me. I like.
I'm wearing a t-shirt. I used it first in my laundry, so I don't have any of the underwear left right now.
Well, you're wearing the t-shirt.
Sorry. I'm wearing the t-shirt, which is great.
So I wore one of the pairs last night, one of the underwear pairs. It's great stuff. So you go to MacWeldon.com and you get 20% off if you use the code iFanboy at checkout. And that's crazy to not even give it a shot and check it out.
20% off, good price. That brings it down significantly. You should get some.
MacWeldon.com, promo code iFanboy at checkout. 20% off your purchase. Socks, underwear, shirts. They got hoodies. They got all kinds of stuff there. Check it out. MacWeldon.com, promo code iFanboy.
Life is too short to have any sort of fabric friction going on.
Listen, I know that a couple of years ago we did a listener survey, and a good 45% of you are currently at this moment wearing burlap underwear from that survey. There's no reason. Why deal with the pain and the chafing?
Also, it can't be easy to source.
No.
This is definitely easier than that. I don't understand why you're doing it.
You go to the website, and then it delivers to you. Fast, too.
Yeah.
You get it fast, so go to MacWeldon.com, promo code iFanboy, 20% off your purchase. Thank you, MacWeldon.
Talk to me about the Green Lanterns.
I wanted to mention Green Lanterns 33 because Tim Seeley and Sam Humphries are doing a book swap. So Sam Humphries used to write this book, and now he's writing Nightwing. Tim Seeley used to write Nightwing, now he's writing Green Lanterns. They did a little swap. And what was interesting
about... permanently? Not like as a one-month stunt?
No, Sam Humphries is definitely permanently on Nightwing, and I assume Tim Seeley is permanent on Green Lanterns, although I could be wrong because I don't read the news sites anymore. But what was fun about this book is that it's got the Tim Seeley stamp on it. I guess Jessica Cruz lives in Portland? And so Tim Seeley, as the gruff Chicagoan, really mines that Portland well. There's man buns, there's mustaches, there's beards. Her Jessica's therapist is like tattooed and got a toucan and a scarf. So he's really leaning into it. But
all right.
It's fun.
And
the book is fun.
And it works.
The characters are fun. Yeah, it's not the whole issue. It's only a little bit of it. There's one point where Jessica uses her ring to make a giant Wonder Woman, and I thought that was actually really great because, you know, Wonder Woman would be sort of the inspiration for all the other female heroes. And I thought that was a nice little touch. You know, she's got to hold off this thing that's coming, so she makes a giant Wonder Woman with a shield. And I thought that was nice. The art was good, too. This is a new artist. Scrolling. Eduardo Pansica. Probably pronounced wrong.
Pansica, perhaps. Pansica.
Also really good. Kind of a Jerry Ordway vibe to him.
Oh.
Which is interesting.
That can go either way.
Yeah, but it actually kind of works. It's a fun pairing, and I'm interested to see what Tim Seeley does with these characters.
Invincible 141, we are in the final countdown, part 9 of 12, so there's only 3 left of this.
I read the most recent trade, which is the first part of this. So I guess I'm...
Oh.
I'm 3 issues behind you.
Okay.
But, yeah.
All right. Stay. Well, a main character dies.
That happened at the end of that trade, too.
So yeah.
I assume in the last bit, a lot of people are going to die very, very violently.
There's a very... What happened at the end of your trade?
Spoiler warning. We gave a spoiler warning. The dad died. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Why?
Really died?
Well, I don't know, really. That was the end of the trade.
Well...
Fighting the other guy from the other bad guy.
You might see him again. But the Viltrumites are tough is the point. But what's going on here is
torn in half.
Yeah, which is just, you know, you'll get to it.
All right.
They don't look well. I mean, but they're healing.
That's true. They are tough.
Yeah. There's a thing here, but basically Mark is going on this, like, I think I just need to go take care of my family. And then, you know, he's also torn by, like, you have to lead the Viltrumites because if you just go for your family, it's, you know, it's going to screw everything up for everybody and then your family's screwed anyway. And there's that conflict.
Yeah, I'm a little worried about how it's going to end. Not quality-wise. I've got no worry about that. My worry is how it's going to end emotionally.
Sure.
Because he can do anything, Kirkman.
There's a couple – but the point, this issue – got a lot of pretty tough emotional moments I thought were written really well. And I even though I know better, I'm a little part of my mind is writing off Robert Kirkman as that Walking Dead TV guy.
Wow. And it's, I'm going to tell
him. I know. I know better. You know, and I read this, I go, right, you know, he's still got it. I mean, I don't know how much of that makes it to the screen on the TV show necessarily, but it's never left this. Also, it's totally time for this book to end.
Yes, because I think he hit a certain point with the character Mark Grayson where he's been sort of treading water, where it's like,
shit or get off the pot.
I don't really want to do this anymore. Oh, I got to keep doing this. Oh, I don't want to do this anymore. I got to keep doing that. Yep. So there's been a little bit of that. I think it's totally fine. I think it's totally fine for a book to go 140 some odd issues and end. That's fine. It's one story. It's not like it's multiple creators. Although he did once say he wanted Invincible to do the book where he could hand it off one day, but I guess he's not doing that. But no. I think this book is better than The Walking Dead.
Well, it's different. It's a different thing.
I enjoy it more.
So I'm getting kind of tired of The Walking Dead at this point. I'm on issue. I'm still going with it.
We never talk about it.
Yeah, I don't, because they just keep setting up a society, and then there's a problem, and they set up society again, and then there's a problem, and it's a little – the search is a little bit over. Like, it kind of feels like it could go on forever, but they need a new conflict, I guess. Mm-hmm. But you know, like the zombies show up. The zombies are no longer a problem. They had a big herd, not a herd, yeah, bigger than a herd. Like, that was the sort of last, like, there's the last thing.
They send him off to the sea or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. But other than that, like, it's kind of the zombies are now just like weather.
Right.
And it's not that interesting to me. Which is why the show isn't interesting to me, because I just feel like I've seen it all and we're just watching a different play of it.
Right.
It's not that it's bad, and if you've never read the books, it's fine, but I don't need to go through it.
But I really like this book. I think this is one of the best books being made.
Yep. It's great. It's great.
I'm a little confused by Luke Cage number 166. Nothing to do with the issue itself. I just can't figure out how they got to this number.
I don't know. I didn't do the research on it because I don't really care. But apparently there are 165 issues of Luke Cage before.
No, there aren't. This is the first ever series named Luke Cage. And I can't.
Wasn't there a Power Man?
Yes, but I can't figure it. Power Man only went like 40 issues. Power Man and Iron Fist went 125 issues. The original series in the 1980s. Mm-hmm. I just can't figure out where they got this number from.
I like that there's somebody at Marvel, and I guarantee you it's one person who was like, "Count, go count." But I don't. You got to go count these, and then he just came to them in numbers, and nobody checked them.
Right.
It's just where we are.
But besides the numbering question, I wanted to bring this up because of all the quote-unquote Defenders books, Luke Cage, Iron Fist, Jessica Jones, Daredevil, Defenders itself, this was the one that I was on the precipice of dropping.
I didn't really like that last arc.
Yeah, I hated the last arc. And Luke Cage, the Power Man and Iron Fist book was so good, probably the best thing Marvel was publishing, that it was such a drop-off, even considering it was the same writer. Yep. He definitely watered down his point of view and his voice for this series, and the art was really boring. But I thought this issue, now that Luke is leaving
New Orleans,
which he shouldn't have been in the first place, it had a bit more of a personality to it, and the art definitely did.
Yep, I thought the same thing. This sort of start of a new arc, little bit cliche, you know, gets hassled by the cops, you know, it's just we've seen it a lot of times.
Well, he's road tripping from New Orleans back to New York, and so he's going through the South and
Mississippi,
and he gets
caught by a supervillain.
Well, there's obviously a supervillain behind it all, but the art was definitely had more personality to it than the last arc.
Yep.
It's not Sanford Green, but I enjoyed it, and I thought his voice was a bit stronger than it was in the last arc. The last arc just felt like it was put through some sort of filter.
Yeah, well, I think it's trying to figure out what it was. This had, if we were doing panels of the week, it had my favorite panel. It might have been my favorite panel of the week, mm-hmm. is that, like, they drug Luke Cage with, like, a Hulk-level tranquilizer.
Yeah.
And he's basically, he's talking to the villain, and he's like, I don't think you're going to get me. I can already feel the strength coming back to my ass-kicking foot. And I was like, hell yeah. That's a good bit of dialogue. That's a little bit of Milius right there.
That is the dialogue that would have happened in the Power Man and Iron Fist book. So now Luke Cage is in this weird prison. So I'm now happy to stick on this one for a little while.
I really like the art, but I really like the production of the art. A lot of the duotone, the zippitone sort of textures that are going on here. Just has an interesting look.
Champions 13 was notable. It's part two of a crossover with the Avengers, which I don't read, so I didn't know what was going on. Well, I can figure it out. I'm not an idiot, mostly. But it was. I wanted to mention it because Roberto Ramos, the artist, was like, "Fuck it, I'm not drawing Spider-Man with the thigh high boots." He just draws regular Spider-Man costume.
I love the slow, like artist rebellion that's happening with stupid costumes. Like, the pages are in. What do you want me to do? You want me to redraw it?
Because this week's Spectacular Spider-Man was also out, and that's the one where he has those stupid thigh-high boots, and they're just, I don't know why. There's, like, no reason.
Like, the best version of that is Kiss, and that's not a good version.
So, this was fun, although I feel like look, anybody can write anything, is my opinion. However, I feel like if you're writing a book about contemporary teenagers, maybe a guy in his 50s isn't the best option for it.
Well, and he's doing several teenager books, isn't he?
I don't know. But, I mean, Mark Waid's one of my favorite writers of all time. It just feels...
He is. But I'm guessing when he was a teenager, he wasn't even like a teenager.
Yeah, it doesn't feel... They don't feel like teenagers. At one point, I'm not going to find it because we'll sit here while I try to find it. There was some reference one of the characters made, and I was like, there's no way a character would ever make that reference to that age. And not even like a pop culture reference, just like a phrase.
Like a Woody Allen. That's like in Going Bananas.
Yeah. It's just. Oh, here it is. This is where Miles Morales, because Vision is all screwy, and he says, "He's got boxer's brain." No. No kid's ever gonna say that.
New York City kid might have watched Raging Bull. I don't know.
Maybe. I mean, it's not glaring. It's just like, you know, if you really want to make this book really vibrant and maybe give it to a young, hungry 20-something who was just a teenager and knows.
And then no one would buy it.
Well, that's true. That's true. Superman 33.
Superman 33. I liked this, just in concept. Basically, they get kidnapped by Lex Luthor, who's now in charge of Apocalypse, and Lois and John are all transported to War World, or not War World, but like Apocalypse during the big fight.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, that's Superman book. And that's you've made it into a family drama book, so that's the next step. And I thought it was kind of like it gives us something to do finally with this weird Luther thing we've had going on. It's stupid. I mean, but not in a bad way.
No, I liked it. The Luther thing is weird to me because it makes sense if Superman is gone that Luther would try to be Superman. That totally makes sense to me. But with Superman back, it doesn't like he shouldn't, you know. He should be running around in a Superman suit. That's all I'm saying.
He got a taste of it. He likes it, so he's trying it this way. And also, they're resolving that probably in some way.
Yeah.
Family. Like that's the trend right now. There are 9 of every character running around actively.
Right.
And you just have to deal with it. Suck it up.
There you go. So those are the books we're going to talk about this week. Go to iFanboy.com. Find the post for the show if you want to talk about the books you read. Now we go to the patron pick. That's where every week the patrons over at patreon.com/iFanboy get to vote to add a book to the rundown. Everyone who's a patron gets to vote. And we do that on the show. Last week we talked about how the vote was weirdly low. This week the vote bounced back to normal.
All right.
So a highly contested vote this week. But the winner, honestly... By a good amount. I mean, it was the number one book the first hour of voting, and it stayed that way the entire week. Was Sherlock, Frankenstein, and the Legion of Evil: : From the World of Black Hammer, #1, written by Jeff Lemire, with art by David Rubin. And this is a spin-off, what I assume is a miniseries from Black Hammer, dealing with the character of Black Hammer's daughter, who we saw in issue 12. Was given access to her father's hideout. And this is, I guess, continuing that story, even though in the present she is with the Black Hammer. Not Black Hammer, but she's with the other heroes in that weird purgatory prison. So this is some sort of flashback miniseries, which I guess maybe will tell us how she got to the prison. We don't know. It does feature the art of David Rubin, who did draw that issue 12, whose art I like a lot.
So
you don't read Black Hammer.
I have not been reading Black Hammer. And I will tell you that when I saw the title was Sherlock Frankenstein, I thought, oh, fuck that. It's just a pop culture nerd mashup, garbage crap. Right away, I was like, this is really good. I mean, and I'm saying that is like, I have not read Black Hammer. I did not for one second feel lost.
Yeah, no, it was.
It like, art was fantastic. Honestly, kind of, I couldn't have told you this was Jeff Lemire.
Well, this is why I think you should be reading Black Hammer. Cause this is this.
I understand.
I mean, this is him doing Silver Age DC, with a sprinkling, just a sprinkling of Golden Age DC, but Silver Age DC. And I mean, you can see all the analogs in this book. There's, you know, sure. Hawkman and the Justice Society. But it's a really fun, sort of wacky Jeff Lemire.
Yeah, but it's also like, you know, it's a real, you know,
but with
it's,
real emotional consequences, yeah, and stakes to it. The art
was really great. It was ambitious in places. I think there's a bit where they're walking down the stairs in the prison, and it was a little confusing.
Yeah, I lost a little bit of that thread, but it was too.
But it kind of worked, if you know, in a way. The color is great. Like it's really.
David Rubin did all that too.
Yeah, it's a really good book. I got to the end of it. That was very good. I'm going to read the rest of this for sure. Sorry, I just gave that away. Is that a spoiler for myself?
That's right. Did it make you want to read Black Hammer at all? Was the question.
I don't not want to read Black Hammer, but there's a thing such as momentum. and for me to be like, well, I better read this trade of these things is I've got trades that have been sitting there for quite a while.
Well, I think the good thing about this issue, as you said, is that you can pick this up and not having read Black Hammer and enjoy
100%.
It.
If you weren't sure about whatever, but you're hearing us, you're hearing me talk about it. I don't want to read anything new. I read, this was great. This was really, really good. With no caveats to that. And I didn't know anything about Black Hammer, and I wasn't lost for a second.
I really do like the names that he uses.
Yep.
Sherlock Frankenstein's fine, but there was one of them in the prison I really like. What was it? It was the guy, Grim Jim.
Grim Jim.
I liked Grim Jim.
Mectoplasm.
He has a lot of fun.
I was pretty impressed by these.
The Concrete Stador.
The lettering's good.
Yeah.
The lettering.
It's a really good book.
It's a good book. It's well done.
Ron and I have been talking about Black Hammer for a while, and I think it's probably one of my top five books. And this is sort of like the same book. They just needed to tell this other story, so they broke it out into a miniseries. So Sherlock Frankenstein and the Legion of Evil, number one. Ratings, Josh.
Things. 4.5.
I'm going to go 4.
Okay.
Sticking with it.
Yeah.
Yes, me as well. So there you go. Good job, patrons. Sometimes they try to screw us. Other times, you know, good job, guys. So there you go. Patreon pick. As I said, patreon.com/ifanboy. That's where you can go. You can vote on the patron pick. You can also join up. And at a certain level, you get your own superpower. That's what we give away every week on the show to people who give. And we thank you who do that. Josh, why don't you kick it off and tell us the first patron power?
David Jordan can increase or decrease the salinity of any object that he touches. So he's good if you have a fish tank.
Oh, interesting.
For example. Or if
you
were...
He can turn salt water into fresh water?
Yeah, so if you're stuck on a raft, he's the guy you want to have around because he's, you know, unlimited water. In fact, you want to put that guy in a factory, he can just solve the world's water problems, but it's going to wear him out. And also, he's going to have high blood pressure at the end of it. I don't know.
So he absorbs the salt.
He makes it go or makes it come. I can't explain it. It's not science.
I'm not a doctor.
It's something otherworldly. I don't have to explain how this works scientifically. Okay. If it's funny, I can try to.
Right.
But in this case, I don't choose to explain it.
Right. Bobby, the Cher, singularly named Bobby. His power is that he can put together anything that's broken, put it back together.
Hmm.
So not that he can
normal speed.
Yeah, he just can rebuild anything. Like if you broke, if you dropped like an egg, he could put the shell back together.
I tell you something, he better hope his in-laws don't get his number, because he is going to be working on stuff all the time, and his kids are going to get spoiled because they need to know that stuff breaks sometimes.
That's true. but he
and
can
no coming
it.
Back from it. Yeah, he can fix it.
And it's not like yeah, I mean, it's not like he can't build it from scratch. But if you have all the pieces, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like, it's not like he's like it's not like he can go out and find. It's very complicated. If you had all the pieces of a car engine sitting in front of you, he could put it back together. But he can't design something in his head that didn't already exist. You know what I mean? He can only put it back together.
I see.
Something that once was.
I'm a lot like that. I can't create good things, but I can break them down and discuss them.
So I think the next one is a cop.
Patrick Mahoney is a cop? Are you being racist here?
Yes, I'm being anti-Irish. He sounds like an Irish cop. Go ahead. Officer Mahoney.
Okay, this all needs to stop right now. Patrick Mahoney can garden using I-beams. He can mow lawns, he can trim hedges, but it only works on plant life.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so he can mow his lawn, just get out the... It's almost like Superman's beams, but it just works. It's like having Roundup, but from I-beams, and it's non-toxic.
That's interesting. I had one for the next guy that is very similar, and so maybe they can just team up.
Go with it. They will be the Gardner squad.
So Gavin Tierney, also Irish-sounding. He is
not Irish-sounding. Those are Irish names.
He is Super Green Thumb. So,
Almost said something just like that.
He's very, you know, it doesn't even like, it's almost like a superpower where he just sort of make the things grow. But not like at a super speed. Like, he can't make like a sequoia.
It's not poison ivy.
Or like a red oak, redwood.
Okay, I understand.
But he can, you know, his flowers and his plants, they're always blooming and they're always lush.
Even out of season?
Yeah, always.
Ow.
Yeah, he's always got the best yard in the neighborhood.
In New England in the winter. That's amazing. I don't even do that.
So there you go.
Gavin Tierney down the road. Just got to knock with all the greenery.
So those are the patron powers this week. Go to patreon.com/ifanboy. If you can give it a certain level, you can get your own patron power of the show. And as we said last week, we're on the downslope, meaning we've passed the halfway point. It means one more year of these and we'll be done giving the patron powers out to all the current patrons.
So just 1 year?
Just one more year.
Good Lord.
I wanted to mention something before we move on. Occasionally, and this has happened about 5 or 6 times, people will email us in with patron powers. We don't even look at those emails. We just immediately file them away. We don't want suggestions, and it's nothing against you. Thank you for the suggestions, but we want part of the challenge for us, and the fun of it, is to come up with it on the spot or right before the show. We don't want to be influenced by other people's ideas.
Occasionally in the middle of a sentence.
Right.
And so, then you get the fun, you know, you did that already.
Which is fine. Which is totally fine.
It happens.
But the point is, thank you for your suggestions and ideas. We appreciate them. We just aren't going to read them. It's kind of like if you send a script into a production company unsolicited, they aren't going to read it.
Much, much lower stakes.
Yeah. Also, no lawyers are involved in this one.
None. Not a one.
Nope.
Not the ones who told us not to talk about. Anyway.
Those are different lawyers.
Go to patreon.com/ifanboy. That's how you can get there on that. We are currently about $400 away at a monthly goal from a non-comics media podcast. Which I'm both looking forward to and not. So some people like when we do a thing that we want to, and some people really like to make us do things that are difficult for us. So, you know, take that as you will. That's the next thing. Thanks to everybody who is contributing on a regular basis. Obviously we so appreciate it. There's a t-shirt store. You can go to ifanboy.threadless.com. What you need to do is get an iFanboy t-shirt. There's 5 designs now. There's 2 classic ones, the iFanboy and the Herm, which is not related to a comic book. I don't know what you're talking about. There are 3 new ones. There's the Pick of the Week podcast. There's Ratings, which I love. And there's If One is Electro, which I also love. You should wear one of those shirts, tri-blend, with some Mack Weldon underwear and socks, and maybe a hoodie or a half zip that they also sell. And you will be in some supreme fabric right there. We'll have more coming up. We're pretty sure we know what our next one's going
to
be.
I think our goal is to get it out before the end of the year. As I said last week, we have a new idea that came to us, so we shelved the one we were working on. We're going to try to get that new one out before the end of the year.
Then, of course, we're heading into the holidays here right now, and go to ifanboy.com/support, and you will find the link to our Amazon link. Just make that your bookmark for it. I know that you have lots of other choices of podcasts and websites who have an Amazon affiliate link. Frankly, they don't do anything for me. So I would like you to use ours if you can. Because it doesn't cost, it's not hard for you, just making the choice. And I'm just saying, how many other podcasts have you been listening to for 12 years?
Right.
There's a stick-to-itiveness that I think needs to be rewarded. And you're going to buy that stuff anyway. So use that, especially if for some reason you're making company acquisitions.
Yes. Can you do that? Can you buy a company via Amazon?
No. I mean, like you're at work and you've got to buy a bunch of stuff.
Oh, if you're in the acquisitions department, I get it.
Yeah. They're making me buy $5,000. Yeah, there you go. Use that link for that, because no, that's not even against the rules, I don't think.
Yeah, if you need to buy like 25 laptops.
Yep.
Go for it. Man.
That'd be great. I probably wouldn't do that through Amazon.
So
I mean, you're not good at procurement if that's what you're doing.
So thank you everyone who does any of the above to help the show out. We really do appreciate it. You may or may not have noticed we just upgraded the iFanboy.com server. We moved it to a different server. It was really slow before. Our database was dragging with the 17 years of content in it. But we moved to a new server. It's much faster. And that was all due from the support we got from you guys. We were able to afford to pay people to do that. And it was not a minor undertaking. It's been about a month on it. So thank you, everyone. That's the kind of thing that happens from people who support the show. So thank you very much. Let's do one email because we're running out of time. Juan P. from Los Angeles, California. Seeing as how Halloween is quickly approaching, I was wondering if you have any favorite horror comics, prose books, or movies to recommend. Also, I know you guys hate horror, so fingers crossed.
Yeah.
I would recommend From Hell.
I like the tropes that get explored in Hellboy throughout the whole story. And in BPRD, I think that's about the best, because I feel like Mignola and company are the ones who really understand playing in that field in a comics form. A lot of Hellboy is just monster and spooky in that sort of that look and that feel. That would be my favorite thing in comics for that.
Is it a horror book?
No, I think it
deals with monsters and demons.
It's steeped in monsters and ghosts and demons. You know, originally it was much more supernatural, you know, there are vampires and there are witches and ghosts and things like that from all over the world, not just sort of European and American versions of it. But there was all sorts of stuff. And I really like that, because those are sort of the building block concepts that horror is made from. And I just like the way that it looks, you know, like I feel like it's colored like a horror movie.
Yeah.
But in comic book form by Dave Stewart, who is a genius and a master.
Yeah, and From Hell is probably the only comic that actually ever scared me while I was reading it. You know, it's Alan Moore and
Eddie Campbell.
Eddie Campbell. I was going through every first name but Eddie Campbell's take on Jack the Ripper. It came out in a big deluxe form. But it was released in a big deluxe form. What, 15 years, 16 years ago?
And, yeah.
17 years ago, I think it was 2000, and. It's a giant work. It's a great. Well, it's steeped in Alan Moore's research. It takes a very particular point of view on the Jack the Ripper case, but it's a very graphic and scary book. And it creeped me out as I was reading it. And books like that don't usually do that. And I don't really like horror, as Juan alluded to. None of us do. So that's about all I've got for you.
And we're out of time. Also that.
Email us at contact@ifanboy.com if you want to get your letter of the show. Thank you, Juan. And quick plug again for the Marvels and Humans and the Gifted show, which we did. Mike Romo and I and Ryan Haupt talked about those shows. I'm still watching the Gifted and quite enjoying it. So if you want to read or hear about us talk about those shows. Also, we did a Star Trek Discovery show and the Orville show. That's also back there. That show is interesting. I'm still watching both those shows. Star Trek, I'm having a lot of hard time with, and every Monday morning, me and Mike Romo and Ron have a little chat, and there's a lot of angsting. But those shows are fun to listen to, so check them on the feed.
And of course, coming up, I assume this is an animated thing. You and the folks will be doing Batman versus Two-Face. Is that out? I feel like I had somebody mention that.
It came out. I've got it on my. It literally arrived in my apartment as I was leaving on my trip. So
there you go.
We're gonna do that. You know, we're gonna record this week, maybe release the week after. I'm not sure. It's gonna be coming out soon.
Okay. And then Thor Ragnarok, which I am really looking forward to. I will try to do that show if possible.
Great. Because I've Thor heard Ragnarok nothing but I'm hearing stuff about it makes me really excited to see it. I'll just put it that way.
It looks really stupid, but not badly.
That's what I mean. I'm hearing that it's if you're looking for something interesting and quirky or new from these characters, this is the movie for you.
That's you know that I'm done with the tropes. We've explored that, so that sounds really fun. Basically, I know him from work. Is the stupidest thing, and I like me 5-10 years ago would have been like, I'm not watching that. That's stupid. Now I'm like, that's ridiculous. Let's do this.
So Thor Ragnarok will be coming out soon. Because that's the first week of November, I believe it comes out. So look for the show around then. In the meantime, head over to iFanboy.com. That's where you'll find all the shows we just talked about, including all of our other old podcasts. And like a Facebook.com/iFanboy and follow us on Twitter @iFanboy. That's where you can find out what the pick is before the show comes out. And you can follow us individually @JAFlanagan and @RonXO on Twitter and Instagram and @CSKilpatrick on Instagram.
And of course, if you like the show, you can write a review over in iTunes, or better yet, make sure you tell your friends about it. Introduce your moms to podcasts. Help spread the iFanboy word. I've actually been seeing it a lot more since we've been talking about it. So unfortunately, people who don't want to listen to us do this, it seems to be effective.
Yes.
So people have been just recommending it on social media here and there a little more lately, which is great. I love to see that. Thank you so much for taking the time to do that and sort of putting yourself out there, because people don't usually want to hear you make recommendations. But if you do and they like it, then it all works out and everybody's good. And you're a hero. That's what you are. You're a hero. I don't know. I was about to say American, but I don't know.
You can still be an American hero.
Right.
Lafayette's an American hero.
Which we definitely need.
So there you go. So that's the show this week. Thank you very much for listening. My name is Connor.
I'm Josh. Bye. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means, and I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and they this is the introvert-extrovert thing, and some people, you know, like they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away, and you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened, but it can be tough to deal with. And also one of the things is like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/iFanboy.